today's topic, The Seal of God, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
Do you know in the final days, just before the coming of Christ, there will be two groups of people, those who are living, who have the seal of God, and those who have the mark of the beast. Just two. Those who have the mark of the beast will receive the seven last plagues, the Bible says. Those who have the mark of God, the mark that He's going to place on the foreheads, will be protected from those seven terrible plagues, and they will be victorious on the sea of glass. Hello, friend. I'm Bill Tucker, and today we have a very heavy topic. In fact, a topic that many preachers shy away from. But I believe it's a very vital part of a closing message to a dying world. And so let's get started. And I trust that you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, would you go and get them right now, because we're going to be looking at several Bible passages. Revelation chapter 7 is our first Bible passage that we're going to look at. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Notice this seventh chapter that we're reading about is a parenthetical prophecy, and it's located between the sixth and the seventh seals, between the signs in the heavens, that is, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the beginning of the day of the Lord. The seal of God is the answer to the cry of the wicked, for the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand, the Bible says. Well, my friends, who will be able to stand? There are two groups described in Revelation 7 who are able to stand. Those two groups are the 144,000 that are mentioned there. And then it talks in the ninth verse of a great multitude which no man could number. These sealed ones are able to stand victorious in Christ through those trying days of the seven last plagues when the great tribulation takes place. Now this sealing of God's people, it's a spiritual process. It's invisible to human eyes. The sealing work is now going on, my friend, and it will be finished soon, I believe, at the close of probation for each Christian. The sealing work begins on the day of one's conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it ends for a person at either the close of probation, whether that be at one's death, or at the end of the investigative judgment, when Christ stands up and makes that fateful decision, recorded over here in Revelation chapter 22. Beginning with verse 11, it says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." What a statement. What a time, my friend. There's going to be a time when there'll be no more changes. But friends, thank God today changes can be made. Soon Jesus is going to stand up. And He's going to make that fateful pronouncement. He's going to say, "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still." What is this seal that is spoken of here in Scripture? Well, the seal is that which authenticates. It confirms, it ratifies, it makes stable. It's something which secures. A seal of any nation is some design which that nation has chosen to represent its authority. You can go back into the history of Israel. There is an instance there where Ahab was the king of Israel. There in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, Jezebel did it, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. Now, why was this? Jezebel wrote these letters in Ahab's name, and then sealed them with Ahab's seal. This gave them authority, gave those letters authority, the same authority as the king. You see, Ahab's seal on those letters meant that the orders contained in those letters had behind them the authority of the king of Israel. So the seal of any government is some distinctive design that stands as a sign of that authority of the nation. Now, the seal of God, then, must be some distinctive spiritual design that God has chosen as the sign of His authority as the only true God. You see, the seal of God and the mark of the beast, they're not literal marks. The seal of God on the forehead doesn't mean that some certain mark is actually going to be stamped on the person's forehead. The law of God written upon man's heart doesn't refer to any visible or literal writing taking place upon a person. No. You see, God is a spirit. And the seal of God is some distinctive spiritual design that God has chosen to represent His authority as the only true God. You know, as we look at the Bible, throughout all of it, God appeals to the fact that He is the Creator. This is the supreme evidence that He is the true God, the only true God. In fact, you can read over here in Psalm chapter 96 and verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. I like what it says there. God says, I am the true God. Why? Because I made the heavens and the earth. And then you can read in Jeremiah 10, verse 10, these words. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting king. At his wrath the earth shall tremble. The nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. The seal of God, then, must be some distinctive spiritual design that God has chosen as a sign of his authority as the only true God. What could it be? Let's see if we can find it in the scriptures. Over here in Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. And then notice what it says. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So you see, God is specifically showing that the Sabbath is His chosen sign as the Creator. This verse plainly states that this is His Sabbath, which comes every seventh day of the week. This seventh day Sabbath is a sign that the Lord made the world in 6 days. Now, since God has chosen the seventh day Sabbath as His distinctive spiritual sign that He is the Creator and the only true God, the Sabbath must then be the seal of the living God. You know, When the President of the United States makes a proclamation, he imparts his authority to the proclamation by a combination of three items: his name, his distinguishing title, and then thirdly, his territory of rule. Now, you can see on the screen the seal of the first president of the United States. His name, George Washington. President. That is his distinguishing title. And what's the territory? The United States of America. You see, it takes these three items to constitute a seal. So the seal of God will contain those three items in reference to God. When you find the seal of God, it will be something that reveals the name of God, the distinguishing title of God, and the territory over which He rules. There's only one institution mentioned in all 66 books of the Bible that contains those three essential items of a seal. They're to be found in the Ten Commandments. If you look at the Ten Commandments, I believe that you will find right where the seal is mentioned. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And it begins by saying, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's verse 3. And then it goes on to the second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And then the third commandment says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But then when you get to the fourth commandment, after reading all of the other six commandments, you come back to the fourth commandment, you'll find that he put his seal into the very heart of his commandment. Yes, the fourth commandment. Notice what it says. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." Notice that in the very heart of the Ten Commandments is God's seal. In fact, if you want to get to the very middle of the Ten Commandments, that word is found in verse 10. That word is. "But the seventh day," it says, "is the Sabbath of the Lord." Those words right there are the very center of those commandments. God put them right in the very heart of His law. The seventh day is the Sabbath. And then in verse 11, we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The seal of God. It's right there, my friends. Right in His law. The fourth commandment. There it mentions His name, where it says, "The Lord, He made." He is the maker, the creator. He made the heavens, the earth, all that is in them. He rested then the seventh day. He blessed the day. You see, actually, the Sabbath, it's a double seal or a sign of God. It's a mark of His creative power. It's also a sign of His sanctifying power. In fact, over here in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20, it says those very words, "Hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." He's saying here, this is the way that you can tell that I am your God. I made heaven and earth. I'm the Creator. And He says, if you will hallow my Sabbaths, that will show that you're worshiping me as the Creator. You see, so the Sabbath becomes a sign of His creative power. And then you can read on in verse 12, "Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths, to to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them." So sanctification, what is it? It's a work of grace. So the Sabbath is actually a sign of salvation by grace. People say, "Oh, the Sabbath. Gonna keep the Sabbath? Oh, that's a lot of work, isn't it?" But my friends, it's a sign of our salvation by grace. The Sabbath is the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is our sanctifier. In Isaiah chapter 58, it gives us an important passage here concerning this. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." Friend, if you were in a crowd and you threw three pieces of cloth on the ground, a red one, a white one, a blue one, and then you walked over and stepped on it, people would say, "What are you doing? It's kind of strange." And you were just stepping on those pieces of cloth, it wouldn't mean very much to people around. But my friends, if you were to take the flag of the U.S., put it on the ground and begin stepping on it, I believe that every patriotic American would say, "Pastor Tucker, take your feet off of our flag." And you'd have a perfect right to say that. My friends, God says, "Take your feet off of my flag. You've been trampling on my holy Sabbath day, trampling it into the dust. Instead of trampling my Sabbath day and treating it like any other ordinary day," he says, "I want you to call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable." You see, the Sabbath is a mark. It's a seal. It's a sign of God's authority and His creative power. My friends, in these last days, the Bible makes it very plain that there will be a counterfeit mark or seal, the mark of the beast. Would you like to read about it? Yes, you've heard about that, haven't you? People wonder about what that mark of the beast is. Well, let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 16 and verse 17. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." My friends, the mark of the beast will be offered by the power of civil law. The powers of earth will be decreeing that no person may secure employment, that they cannot buy, they cannot sell, unless they have the mark of the beast. And finally, the decree will be made that if you do not have this mark, you'll actually be sentenced to death. Now, on the other hand, God declares that if you take this mark of the beast, you will be lost eternally. What does it say over here in Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 9? "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." My friends, we need to have the courage of Jesus to make our decision now on God's side, don't we? Man says, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to buy. Why, you won't be able to sell. In other words, you'll get to the place where you could be starved to death. But God says, if you have the mark of the beast, you'll be lost. It's kind of like being between a rock and a hard place, isn't it? But friends, if any people needed help from God to make the right decision, we are the people right now. Don't tell me. That's not going to happen in our day. People have said that to me. But my friends, it is going to happen. Everything is now being established. Right now, it's being established for the image of the beast and the mark of the beast to be set up. I say now, if we ever needed the help from the Lord, that time is now. That's why it's important, very important for us to consider Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3, which declares that the seal is placed on the forehead of the servants of God. The forehead represents the mind, the thinking processes where choices are made. You know, the first words of the fourth commandment are what words? Remember the Sabbath day. A person remembers something with his mind. And when you remember the Sabbath, that puts the seal of God in your mind, in your forehead. To receive the seal of God on the forehead means to surrender the heart, the mind, the soul to the will of God. It means having the character, the image of God stamped upon one's life. God says, "Hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God." So the Sabbath becomes the outward sign of the complete settling into the truth. That is the truth that's in Jesus Christ. That complete surrender of the life, the character of God, being restored in man. You see, the Sabbath is far more than just a day. It's a sign between God and His people. It becomes the outward sign of an inward experience. The Sabbath has to do with character. Those who are being sealed day by day are being restored to the Creator's character. That's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads." Friend, that's what I want. I want to have the Father's name in my forehead. What does it mean? The whole purpose of the gospel is to restore in man the image of God. The sealing is a restoration to the image of God. The sealing is the definite settling of the human being into the truth, the permanent fixing of the law of God in our lives. Just as a seal can be applied only to an authentic document, so also the seal of God can be only applied to the life of a real Christian, a consecrated life. One that is washed in the blood of Jesus and renewed in holiness according to the standards of God's law. You know, my friends, in these final days, those who are sealed by God, empowered by the mighty outpouring of the latter rain, baptized with the Holy Spirit, they will be the most powerful witnesses the world has ever known. You, my friend, can be numbered with that group. God needs you. He needs me. He wants us to prepare for the finishing of His work. Let's determine to fully yield our lives, our minds, to the will of Jesus Christ, that we indeed can be restored to the image of God. I want to be like Jesus. How about you, friend? Let us pray. Father in heaven, this is our prayer today. We want to be like your dear Son. We want to be restored to the image of our God. And we submit our life just now to you. Bless every viewer, every student of thy word, in Jesus' name.